You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I hope you had a great weekend, everybody. A long weekend. We're refreshed, ready to go, full speed ahead. Had some college football, watched some football last night. We get ready for the start of the NFL season on Thursday. That's when I'll give you my Super Bowl prediction. Peter King, he'll join us coming up next hour. He made his Super Bowl picks, also his playoff picks. So Pete will join us in the second hour of the program. If you'd like to get in touch, you can. We usually do best and worst of the weekend on Monday, but since we weren't here, get that opportunity today. You can dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle with DP Show. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock, and our great radio affiliates numbering 362 around the country. This program brought to you by the great folks at LegalZoom during these unprecedented times. You can rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Visit LegalZoom.com today. Take care of the things that you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. Spent a lot of the weekend trying to monitor what's going on in the Big Ten. And you had a march yesterday. You had Jim Harbaugh out there. I believe it was yesterday or the day before, but he was out there basically saying, free the Big Ten. Let us play football here. High school football in Michigan is being played. High school football in Ohio is being played. NFL football is being played in those states. So I reached out to my source, of course, has been a fountain of information, the same person who told me about the Big Ten and Pac-12 that they would be shutting the season down. And I corresponded with him over the weekend. And we were talking about what it's going to be like to play football, college football. And he said, you know, it's going to be strange. Teams won't know until Saturday who will be available after test on Friday in college football. And then I said, what's going on with the Big Ten? He said, things in the Big Ten haven't changed. Coaches and athletic directors want to start. The medical community is pushing things out. They want to look at now November. Now, I gave you October 10th, and that came from another source. October 10th was, we can still play maybe a 10-game schedule and still get into the postseason. That's why October 10th was an important date. You could get 10 weeks. There would be no bye weeks. You get 10 weeks, and then Ohio State and or Wisconsin maybe would qualify for the Final Four. My source said that November gives teams in the Big Ten a chance to keep most of their players, and they can finish sooner so the season in 2021 isn't affected. It will probably be 8 games, if that's even possible. Who knows what happens with the Pac-12? You had Commissioner Scott on your show. He's fighting for his job. He needed some positive news with testing. My source goes on to say the NCAA is going to announce basketball starts in November, and they have everything else shut down until January. Doesn't make any sense. So yesterday I followed up to say, any other news here? And he said, it's clear COVID will be here through 2021, and teams are going to have to live with it. Schools are practicing, but they're very split right now. I spoke to a head coach today, very frustrated because the commissioner has gone silent in the Big Ten. Players don't want to practice again for a shortened season that will be unpredictable. They're running out of time for that October start. Heard the Michigan president will not budge on an early start in the fall. So that's the information I have. And maybe it's not moving things forward, but that's a bad sign for the Big Ten. I haven't heard from the commissioner. There were reports that maybe we were going to have a vote with the presidents and chancellors from all the schools. They would have a revote. But as I was told, the commissioner needs to know what their answers are. He needs to know the vote before the vote because he doesn't want to go in there and then all of a sudden they come back and it's 11-3 or 12-2. He wants to make sure, do we have enough coaches? Well, I shouldn't say coaches, presidents and chancellors who want their schools to be out there playing. You're not going to have Maryland play. This is what I was told yesterday. Maryland, no. Rutgers, no. Northwestern, Illinois, no. And probably not Michigan and Michigan State. So therefore, you're not having football in the Big Ten. Unless we're going back to the Big Eight, which is an old conference that became the Big 12. But that was what I was told yesterday. Doesn't look good. And you're running out of time. And they're players who are not going to want to play. It was stressed so strongly. It was like my source said, these marquee players will not play in the spring. They're not going to want to play in January, start in January. Because they're thinking, why am I going to play? And if you're going to, let's say you're a sophomore, so you're going to play in a truncated season, then you got to turn around and you got to play in the fall again. You know, they're worried about what their pro potential is going to be. They don't want their stock to go down. That's why you've seen some players go, you know, this is as good as it's going to get. I don't want to risk it just to be able to play 8 games in January. And they'll turn out to be glorified exhibition games. But that's the information I got from my source over the weekend and even this morning. Yeah, Paulie.
Here's something I would love for us to be able to ask the Big Ten commissioner or anyone involved with this. How is it safe to have players practice for games that don't exist? If there's no games, why allow practices, which would endanger them from a physical standpoint? Because practicing, having contact practices for games that don't exist is as stupid as it gets, because you're risking both COVID transaction without the reward of the game and an actual physical injury of the practice, which there is contact in practice, and no game at the end of the week. That's fascinating.
You have different agendas. And I'll go back to the conversation I had with the Pac-12 commissioner, Larry Scott, last week. He basically called out the presidents of the 3 Power 5 conferences that are playing. Because he said, we all have the same medical information. And paraphrasing, they're being careless in the other power conferences, the Big 12, ACC, and SEC. It's not good. It's a mess. Different agendas, different parts of the country, and I'm becoming less confident we're going to see football in the Big Ten by the end of the year. And I don't know about Pac-12. I think they're trying, but it feels like that's going to be maybe January. And you're not going to have to worry about weather as much in the Pac-12. But the Pac-12 and Big Ten are joined at the hip. You don't want the Big Ten to start playing and then the Pac-12 doesn't, because they both shut down at the same time. But when Larry Scott was on, he said, we're playing. We're going to be playing in January. Okay. But I don't know if the Big Ten is going to be playing. And if they are, what it's going to look like. All right, we'll come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. Your phone calls are always welcome. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Some of the headlines, Heater up 3-1 of the Bucks. Lakers, Rockets tied at a game apiece. They got game 3 coming up tonight. Heat, Bucks have game 5. We'll talk about the Greek Freak. If he can play, how much do you play him, or do you just sit him? Celtics up 3 on the Raptors, 3-2 on the Raptors. Clippers won last night. They're up 2-1 on the Nuggets. Deshaun Watson got paid. He finally finished his big deal over the weekend. Texans gave him a 4-year extension, about $160 million. And, you know, I'm happy for him. He's an easy player to root for. But, you know, you start to look at the state of quarterbacking in the league, and I think we're in pretty good hands. You got Patrick Mahomes, you got Watson, Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott. Got a lot of guys there. Lot of potential. And then you got the old guard still hanging on. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson seems old. And there's a good chance we're seeing several Hall of Famers at different points of their careers in what hopefully will be a special season at the sport's most important position. And I couldn't help but wonder, when I saw that Deshaun Watson signed, how, I don't want to say stupid the Cowboys are, but I'm trying to find the right word to say, I don't think they approach this the right way with Dak Prescott. Because let's go back to April of 2019. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys should have been on the verge of getting a deal done. Now, keep in mind at the time, Aaron Rodgers, $33.5 million, Matt Ryan, $30 million, Kirk D. Cousins at $28 million, Jimmy Garoppolo at $27.5 million. Now, maybe you could have put him in there in the middle between Rodgers and Matt Ryan. So maybe $34, $35 million per season. Fast forward to 17 months later, you have 7 quarterbacks who have signed deals for $32 million or more on average. Mahomes and Watson, obviously, $45 and $39 million. So you're going to ask Dak Prescott to take a hometown discount? How are you going to get him a long-term deal here? And granted, you know, maybe you don't look at Dak Prescott. He's certainly not Mahomes, and probably not Deshaun Watson either. But, you know, the salary cap's going to go down in 2021. It could go down considerably. Now you're going to try to get him signed up for what? How much? How long? By waiting, they're going to cost themselves considerably more money. And you can't do that with a quarterback. You sign him, you bite the bullet, and you know, eventually you look back and you go, you know what? We probably got a bargain. I mean, San Francisco might look at Jimmy Garoppolo and say, $27.5 million, we got a bargain. I mean, Jared Goff's making $33.5 million. Timing is everything when it comes to your quarterback. The Chiefs will get a bargain on Patrick Mahomes. Pay him, move on. And Dallas waited and waited and waited and dragged this out. And now you're going to give him more bargaining power because you brought in, you got CeeDee Lamb for him. You still have a good offensive line. Zeke Elliott is still a marquee running back. You got a couple of wide receivers there now. You got Mike McCarthy, new head coach. You're basically saying to Dak Prescott, go on out there and drive up your price. Because if he performs well, he's going to want $40 million a year. And you could have had him probably for $7 million less. And if you start to extrapolate, you probably cost yourself over $30 million by waiting. And try to do that when the salary cap goes down. He's going to want money that's commensurate to the other players at his position. And I don't think he's Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun is more valuable to his team. But that doesn't mean anything. If you start to look at these salaries, it doesn't mean anything. It's next guy up, pay him, move on. Or get rid of him, like Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Don't pay them. But if you're going to keep them, you're going to pay them. Remember when Kirk D. Cousins got $84 million guaranteed? And he got franchised a couple of times. And I went, will we look at that as a bargain price? He's making $27 million a year. Now you might go, boy, that's not a bargain. It is in today's NFL with that position. Do I want to pay Kirk Cousins $27 million? No. But then who am I paying to come in and play that position? Do I want to pay Jared Goff $33.5 million? No. There's only a couple of guys that I look at and I go, okay, that guy is... How many of these quarterbacks are worth the money you pay him? I mean, it's starting to become almost like NBA salaries where you go, wait, John Wall makes $42 million a year. You either pay him a max or you find somebody else. I mean, that's really what it has to be. But what Dallas did, and Jerry Jones is obviously a great businessman. I don't understand the logic on this one. And maybe there is no logic on this. Yeah, Paul.
And the only way this works out for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys is if Dak Prescott has a very bad season and they can now move on from him financially free.
Yeah.
That's the only way this works out.
But I wondered if they truly wanted him. You know, I was trying to get a good source on it, and it felt like people weren't sure if Jerry Jones was all in on Dak Prescott. And I go, like, he was biding his time. Like, can I get through another year to see if Dak Prescott truly is a franchise quarterback? And I think that that's what happened with Washington. You know, they were looking at Kirk Cousins. Is he a franchise quarterback? And I still don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. But I just look at the logic, the business logic or acumen of the Cowboys, and I don't understand it. Yes, McLovin.
I was just saying that Kirk Cousins and Dak seem to have a lot in common. Like, they're going to have big numbers, but they can't win that big game. That's what you said about Dak. Remember you were reading his stats against great teams?
Yeah, he's unbelievable when they win.
Yeah.
But he is so subpar when they lose. Yes.
But Mike McCarthy has had great quarterback numbers. Like, did you see Aaron Rodgers' stats take a nosedive after he left? Like, they always get a lot of pass attempts. So he's going to have big numbers, which is going to get him paid.
Well, also, you brought in a new coach in Green Bay with a new philosophy that they want to be more like the San Francisco 49ers. So that's different. But you're right. Mike McCarthy, I think, will help Dak Prescott. But Jason Garrett is a former quarterback, offensive-minded guy, and... that didn't go well. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, you're right. He always has Tony Romo had monster numbers under Garrett, so you're right. And so is Dak. Dak's numbers are always great.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
But who could look worse in the situation. Bill O'Brien, who's the GM kind of now.
Well, he didn't screw this up.
But he kind of did before. His plan of getting rid of Nuke Hopkins, the wide receiver, because he can't pay him and pay Deshaun Watson. Okay, that makes sense, but you got nothing in that trade. Very little in that trade for the worth of the player.
He couldn't screw up the Deshaun Watson deal.
That party's good.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, I don't believe it. Well, we couldn't sign Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. I was told that this was a divorce that was in the making. But get a better deal. Like, get a better player than David Johnson. That was my whole issue with this. Okay, you want to trade him? You're trying to tell me you can't get something of equal value in return for a guy who's probably in the top three with wide receivers? I don't know. This seemed kind of strange. McLevin, poll question for me.
Okay, I have a good one based on what you were just saying after the break. And when I say good, I mean clicks, galore, quarterbacks, NFL, get ready.
NFL all-time highest average yards per pass attempt. You have two current players who are on this list in the top five. Two in the top five. You won't get the other three. NFL all-time highest average yards per pass attempt. We'll have that for you coming up. McLevin has his hot poll question as well. And we'll dive into the Heat-Bucks game five coming up tonight. And do you play the Greek Freak in this game? I got a strong opinion on this. Lakers-Rockets game three. I have no idea what to expect in game three. None. And once again, we'll check in with Peter King from NBC Sports. Pete will join us next hour with his playoff predictions. 18 after the hour, just getting started on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Did you get a good night's sleep? When's the last time you got up and you went, wow, that was a great night's sleep? Maybe it's been a while. Maybe it's been a really long time. Well, there's no excuses now, because I'm going to turn you on to the bed that I have. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed features Sleep IQ technology, improves your quality of sleep by over 15 minutes each night. You get a wellness report basically in the morning that tells you how well you slept. The technology is inside the bed. It tracks how well you're sleeping and gives you personalized insights for your best sleep. You need 7 or 8 hours, right? And there's a routine that, you know, you can follow. Sleep Number bed owners enjoy almost an hour's more of sleep per night. They've done all this research. They're giving you the best night's sleep. Come in now. Biggest sale of the year. All the beds are on sale for a limited time. Save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You can shop your way. You can go to a Sleep Number store online at sleepnumber.com/Patrick or by chat. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Make sure you check out rockauto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need, rockauto.com. A family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. First, to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, to make those parts affordable by offering reliably low prices. At rockauto.com, choose the part brands, prices, features you want anytime 24/7. RockAuto.com even has a lot of the parts you might have been told dealer only are no longer available. Parts delivered right to your home or office. Don't waste time and money hunting for parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to RockAuto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you all the parts your car, truck, whatever need at RockAuto.com. All right, McLovin, get ready for your poll question. I teased the NFL all-time highest average yards per pass attempt. Number one on the list. Yeah, Paulie?
This is a name from the past. I'm going to take a shot. It's an older guy?
If it's from the past, he's an older
guy. But like an older guy.
Yeah.
Daryl LaMonica from the Raider? Ooh.
Otto Graham.
Oh, yeah.
Really old. Second on the list, Patrick Mahomes. Third on the list, Sid Luckman, another old quarterback. Fourth on the list, another old quarterback, Norm Van Brocklin. Fifth on the list is Deshaun Watson. which I found surprising. Mahomes' second, this is a minimum of 1,000 pass attempts, all-time highest average yards per pass attempt. Deshaun Watson is fifth on that list. I'll have my Super Bowl prediction coming up on Thursday as we get ready for the start of the NFL season. All right, McLovin, poll question.
Okay, I'm going to give you three groups of quarterbacks, and you're going to tell me which group is most likely to win the Super Bowl without revealing your pick. I'll give you the old guys, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Ben Roethlisberger, the young guys, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Deshaun Watson, or the medium guys, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. And is there anyone I'm leaving out of the medium guys list? Feels like they're the two. They're not old, they're not young, but they're Super Bowl possibilities.
Dak Prescott?
Well, there were a lot of young guys. Wentz and Prescott, I didn't know if they belonged. Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott. Are they in the young guys or are they the medium guys?
I would say Dak is medium. What about Kirk Cousins? That's a good team.
You know, is he in that elite? I mean, look at the names here. It's like Mahomes, Jackson, Watson.
But I have to look at the team as well.
Yeah.
So I can't take out a quarterback from a team that has a chance to win the Super Bowl.
True.
And Dallas has a chance to win the Super Bowl. I mean, they all have a chance, but better than average chance. Minnesota has a chance.
What about that group with the old quarterbacks? Do the Bucs, Saints, and Steelers, are they in the Super Bowl picture?
If everything goes well for Pittsburgh, and that's saying a lot, they can win that division over Baltimore, in my opinion. If everything goes well, but it never does. Saints and Buccaneers, I feel like everything has to go well for Tom Brady, and everything's got to go well for Drew Brees. I mean, at that age, it's the degree of difficulty is already tough and pretty high. And Brady, he's got weapons there, and they were better at the end of the year. The Saints, I'm just not sure. Now, Kamara, got to get that contract situation, you know, figured out. But yeah, it's, you know, the clock is ticking on these guys. So they added even more pressure. You know, is this Breeze's last year? Is he going to take the TV job at NBC? So that pressure. Did you see where Taysom Hill is now the number two quarterback on the depth chart in New Orleans over Jameis Winston? I don't get it. I think we're fascinated by potential. And I think we look at Jameis Winston as damaged goods. He's still very talented. He just doesn't make smart decisions sometimes. And can you learn that? Can he learn to be smarter with the ball, not force it in there? This isn't Florida State. You got to think your way down the field. And I didn't think he did, certainly with Tampa Bay. But if you said Drew Brees is not going to play week two, is Taysom Hill going to be your quarterback? I would say no. I would think Jameis Winston would still be your quarterback. But Taysom Hill, who is the backup quarterback, and I think he's also on the kick return team as well. I don't know how many times you've had a quarterback who would be the backup quarterback, but also he would be on the kick return team. But Taysom Hill is a – and look, there were times when – and I guess you could say in that game against Minnesota, he was the best player on the field. But I don't know if he's a every down, every week quarterback. I mean, I'd love to see it, but I just don't think he is. Yeah, McLovin.
But remember the Saints reporter, Jeff Duncan, who said he's a Steve Young to Joe Montana? We've had two Saints reporters tell us that Sean Payton has this idea.
Steve Young could throw the ball. Steve Young completed 70% of his passes. Taysom Hill was not a great college quarterback.
But where are these Saints reporters getting that from?
Probably from Sean Payton. I'm guessing. Sean loves him. But I don't know. I don't get it. He wasn't a great college quarterback. And that was 4 years ago. Is he one of those guys that can you put him on the field? Can you keep him on the field? Can you find reps for him? Maybe. But I don't think he's the second coming of Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's even Colin Kaepernick. By the way, did you see Florio had an article? He said zero interest in Colin Kaepernick. Remember, it felt like there was a push by the commissioner that, hey, teams are interested in him. And I went, okay. I said at the time, and I firmly believed it, he'd never play football again. I don't know if that's – and as Florio points out, why doesn't somebody just call Colin Kaepernick's bluff, because everybody keeps saying the same thing, that Kaepernick's not going to play unless he's a starter. Why not just go, hey, we're going to make you the number two or three quarterback here. Come on in. And I don't know. The Patriots got Cam Newton for nothing. What if the Ravens or Steelers or Texans reached out and just said, come on in, be a backup quarterback. Like, find out if he really wants to play. But as you know, Florio pointed out, Pro Football Talk, that he says, per a source with knowledge of the situation, there was some fake interest expressed immediately after George Floyd's death. Seemingly out of guilt, there has been zero interest expressed as to Kaepernick in months. Right. Yeah, McLovin.
With the, you know, quarantining and injuries because there's no preseason, I mean, they're going to go deep into QB charts. Wouldn't you want to sign him just as an option of a guy you know can run the ball?
You're bringing in a lot more than just a quarterback. That's it. And these owners do not want to put up with that. It's a business. Based on the current depth charts, the Saints have the oldest projected starting lineup in the NFL. Average age of just over 28 years. So you can say, now or never. And Breeze, of course, skews that average age. But they're ready to win now. They have to win now. And if this is Breeze's last year there, you know, even more pressure. And I just don't know. It's like if Philip Rivers was with the Colts 10 years ago, or his arm from 10 years ago, then I'd have a lot more confidence. I just don't know. As much as I like that coach and GM and the young talent they have, Philip Rivers, is he capable of throwing 300 passing yards a game? Does he have to throw? They brought in another running back, Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. Are they going to be a run-first team? I like Pittman. I like him a lot. You know, can T.Y. Hilton stay healthy? Like, you just start to handicap. And what I try not to do is look at what a team can't do. I want to know what you can do and how well you do it. Like, Tennessee runs the football. You can't go, yeah, but they got Ryan Tannehill. If they run the football, Ryan Tannehill all of a sudden, you know, looks like a all-pro quarterback. But if you say they can't run, and now Ryan Tannehill has to throw the ball, then I'll go, no. And they just brought in Jadeveon Clowney, which, how strange has this offseason been for him? I thought he was going to Seattle, thought he was going to Baltimore, thought he was going to the Saints. Now he ends up with Tennessee. And I started to look back on that draft. Remember when Jadeveon Clowney, he was a can't miss. Remember his pro day? ESPN carried it, I think, live, and they just gushed over Jadeveon Clowney. And I just remember it felt like the enthusiasm for Jadeveon Clowney is based off one play. When he hit Vincent Smith of Michigan in the Outback Bowl and knocked his helmet off. Everybody went, oh my God, Jadeveon Clowney. Incredibly athletic. A source said when Jadeveon Clowney went into the NFL, he had no lower body strength. Easy to push around. Couldn't deny his speed. Easy to push him around. And I thought, okay, does he gain weight? I'm like, I don't know. Can you become a larger body? And I think he's a good player. It almost feels like he's more of a run stopper than a pass rusher. I mean, he's not Jermaine. Remember the Greek or the Javon Curse? I almost called him the Greek Freak. He was another freak. He was just the freak out of Florida. Now, he was a great pass rusher. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you think that, I'm looking back at that draft, the Texans might have wanted to take a Khalil Mack, but the hype around Clowney made it like a safer number one overall pick?
I don't know if they felt like they could pass. That was a bad draft, by the way. But Khalil Mack out of Buffalo, and at the time we didn't know much about the University of Buffalo. You know, in subsequent years, we've realized they got a pretty good football program there. But Khalil Mack, it felt like, was not a sure thing, a little bit of a reach. Whereas Jadeveon Clowney, I mean, he's playing in the SEC. Did you see that hit against the Michigan running back? That was a horrible draft.
Like, well, Like every draft, like it was horrible at the top. Does that mean it's a horrible draft? Because Greg Robinson and Blake Bortles.
Well, when you whiff at the top, that's pretty bad. I mean, you're always going to find those players where you go, oh, this guy got drafted in the fourth round. That guy got drafted in the third round. I understand that, but that's where you have Jadeveon Clowney. The Rams took an on Greg Robinson. Didn't he go second? Blake Bortles went third. Sammy Watkins, Khalil Mack after that. Mike Evans went there. But then you had, the Browns took Justin Gilbert.
Oof.
Is that right?
Like yeah.
Ninth pick in the draft. Johnny Manziel.
There's some Hall of Famers there.
I know. Aaron Donald, 13.
You might have eight Hall of Famers in that first round. I'm looking at it. You have a lot, but they're lower.
But 10 guys who are out of football.
Well, actually, Khalil Mack, Mike Evans, Zach Martin, Odell Beckham. four guys. Sorry. Ryan Shazier was in that. You loved Ryan Shazier.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I just felt like he was the core of that Steeler defense. I really did. Yeah, Paul.
If you go back, I'm looking at draft reviews of the 2014 draft. Nobody had anything against Clowney. They said putting Clowney and Watt together for the next 7 or 8 years means you can't double team either, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack, the criticism was, how can we judge what he did against lower-end competition? That was the caveat to not take him a little bit higher.
Did you come up with your poll question, McLovin?
Well, I gave you those quarterback tiers. I have a couple. I have a couple NBA questions / poll questions too. I could save them if you'd like.
No, you can hit me with them.
Well, I mean, this isn't a poll question, but I do want to hear your take on whether Giannis should play tonight.
Oh, he's listed as questionable with a sprained right ankle. You're down 3-1. You went into overtime without the Greek Freak to pick up that victory. I don't want to play him. I wanted to play him more minutes, and maybe they wouldn't have been in this position to begin with. And I don't understand the logic here. You know, even Chris Middleton was, it felt like, on a minutes limit. And then all of a sudden he went off last game and, you know, had to play more and played wonderfully. I have to look at short-term, long-term. And I think you really have to be honest with your team and just how good they are. Because I don't think they're better than the Heat. Thought the Heat had a great chance of winning this series when it started. But I don't want him out there. If there's a chance that he can make it worse. Now, granted, it's an ankle. It's not an Achilles, not a knee. But I don't want him out there. Yeah, McClub.
Side poll question / overreaction to the Bucks winning without him. Is Giannis built for the playoffs?
Well, he needs a signature move. In the regular season, you get to run up and down the floor. Postseason is about half court at some point. You have to, like, if you do a half court set, then the Greek Freak, I think, his dominance is greatly reduced. But if you let him, you know, run the floor, you're going to have a really hard time with it. But I also have to look at the Greek Freak and say, he's an unrestricted free agent after next season. Does this decision impact him in wanting to stay in Milwaukee or not wanting him to stay? And I think that's the real conundrum here. That's the dilemma. Because I have to ask him, do you want to play? Because I don't want to look at this and have anything that could be long term. Because I want it to, I have to leave it up to him. And then if he says, look, I shouldn't play, I probably shouldn't play, that's when the coach goes, I'm going to take the bullet for you. And you got a season that's right around the corner. This isn't an injury in April. And I would not play him. I don't think you're the better team. I don't want him out there 60%. But look, even if he plays tonight and he plays well or they win, like, that ankle injury doesn't go away. Just because you tape it up, you may shoot it up, you ice it, you do all those things, that's one of those things that stays with you for a little while longer. And all it takes is a little tweak here or there. And if I'm the Heat, I'm going right at him. I'm going at him every single time down the floor. Bam Adebayo, boom, go after him. Make him run. Make him go side. Make him, you know, not straight ahead. Make him cut. Make him work. Follow. Whatever it is, I'm going to work you. Because, hey, this is gamesmanship. Yeah, Paulie.
Is there any chance the coaching staff could hold him out no matter what he wants to do? And they may even think that we may have a better chance to come back against the Heat because the Heat, you know, they're playing against a different lineup, a weird lineup with Giannis is out.
Yeah, and that was weird because, you know, there was a two-point game at halftime, and it felt like Miami didn't know how to combat a Milwaukee Bucks team that didn't have the Greek Freak out there. As strange as that is going to sound, the two-time MVP not being there, Milwaukee became a more dangerous team or a tougher team to match up with. Because the whole philosophy is get back on defense, set up this wall so the Greek Freak can't get to the hoop. Now, all of a sudden, you're doing that or used to doing that. That's your game plan, and then you don't have to do it. And Milwaukee was making shots, especially Chris Middleton. All right, let me take a break. We'll come back. We got our play of the day. We'll get to phone calls, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. And Peter King will give you his Super Bowl prediction coming up next hour. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Murray drives right down the right alley. Attacks on Leonard. Oh! Rejected at the rim. The two-time defensive player of the year says, do not come in here. Kawhi Leonard sends it back on Jamal Murray.
Courtesy of AM 520 LA Sports. 570 LA Sports. Mario! The replay showed Kawhi's block was with one finger there. I think it was his middle finger, too. Gave him the finger. Paul George led the way with 32 points. Game four is tomorrow night. Interesting exchange after the game. Patrick Beverley, the Clippers guard, was talking about Jokic and that he does a lot of flopping. Here is Patrick Beverley.
He presents the same thing Doncic presents, Luka presents. A lot of flailing, you know, puts a lot of pressures on the referees to make the right call.
Okay. So then Jokic responded to Beverley's comments.
Yeah, Nikola, Patrick Beverley said just a couple minutes ago that you do a lot of flailing when you're on the court, and that's why you get a lot of calls. I was just curious if you had a reaction to that.
What's a flailing means?
Kind of throwing your arms, trying to draw fouls, I guess.
They had 26 free throws. We have 10. I'm just showing the ref that it's a foul.
So he, what is flailing?
This flailing, you you just have a look on his face. He's like, he's just smoldering.
Yeah. Play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by LegalZoom. During these unprecedented times, you can rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Visit LegalZoom.com today. Take care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. John in Ohio, best and worst of the weekend. John, what do you have for me today?
BP.
Hi, John.
Hi. First, how you doing?
Great. What's on your mind?
First time walk on.
All right.
5'9", 180. BP, I have a best and worst of the weekend and a against the grain hot take, whatever you want to call it here.
Okay.
Best is Herbie on the call last night with the BYU-Navy game. It feels like college football's officially back. My worst is actually from the last couple of weeks here. What's going on with Seton not getting smashed with a pie in the face?
Oh, it's coming. He's got two pies coming his way. It's better when he doesn't know it's coming.
That's like the best part of the bit is not knowing when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other Danettes, they took their pies to the face. Seton doubled down, taking the Blazers, that they wouldn't be eliminated by the Lakers, and they were. So he's got two pies coming his way. I still love that Wheel of Punishment when Seton had five pies and he didn't know when he was going to get them. Just to be able to hide behind the corner, a door, and then all of a sudden jump out and smash him in the face. Yeah, Seton.
It's a little more tricky here, though. Because at the other studio, there was only really like two places you could walk. Here, there's so many more spots.
Yep. And I might not be the one who's delivering said pie.
Hey.
Could be somebody else.
That's going to be tricky.
Could be 2 minutes from now, 2 days from now, 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now. Who knows? But there are two pies.
Two pies.
Two pies waiting for you. McLovin, did you go with the poll question?
Yeah, I went with the old guys, the young guys, and the medium guys. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? And I rounded out the medium guys, Rodgers, Russell, and Ryan.
Okay.
Just to go three R's with Matt Ryan, even though I don't think anyone thinks the Falcons are going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Are they in the mix at all?
I think they're in the mix for a playoff spot, absolutely. I think quietly they're in the mix. I mean, it's tough because you got Saints and Buccaneers. You know, you start to look, can you have three teams in the playoffs from one division? You know, Detroit's getting a lot of love, by the way. Believe it or not, the Lions getting a lot of love to make the playoffs this year. All right. What else, McLeod?
By the way, the winner of that poll is, it's a new guys, old guys, and medium guys. 74% say the new guys, Mahomes, Jackson, and Watson, are more likely than Brady, Breeze, and Ben. Is that because of Mahomes? I mean, is the chalk pick the Chiefs this year?
I would imagine it would be. Yeah, I'm guessing in the AFC, you're probably looking at either Baltimore or Kansas City.
I've been reading a lot of Super Bowl picks from around the internet.
Yeah.
Not to influence you at all, but I'm seeing a lot of Colts as their dark horse AFC team. And that seems like a stretch to me.
Well, I think that the defense was a lot better than we thought. They got a young nucleus there. It's just I don't know about Phillip Rivers. I don't know, as much as I like him, I don't know if the game is on the line that he can do what some of these other quarterbacks do. And that is have a great arm to be able to lead a team down the field. Like, I just don't know if he can at this age. And I don't know about Drew Brees, believe it or not, doing the same thing. And Brady was so bad at the end of last season. He's got weapons. I just want to know, do you have arm strength? Like Roethlisberger coming back from surgery. How strong is your arm? Because all of these guys can throw it. But it feels like those older guys, I don't know. Rodgers, I still have confidence in. But, you know, he's, 7 years younger than Brady. He hasn't had, he had shoulder surgery. But less mileage, less damage on his body there. But the older quarterbacks, Breeze, Brady, even Roethlisberger, just because coming back from a severe injury, I don't know. And Phillip Rivers hasn't been injured. It's just that arm has really never been strong to begin with. Peter King will join us in about 20 minutes, get his Super Bowl prediction. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend coming up as well. 1 hour in the books, two more to go. Dan Patrick Show.